When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Preview show.
Show with myself, Dan Bardell, and my Sky Sports News colleague, David Reid, as we look forward to West Ham versus Aston Villa on Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff, I believe. One of the worst, most soulless stadiums that you have to go to as an away fan, I'm sure. But Villa go there, Dave, off the back of a resounding 4-0 victory against Ajax. Worth saying that the show is sponsored by Luke Roper before we go to Dave. If you want to get yourself 20% off everything that the Luke guys have to offer, then if you use the code TVV20, you'll get 20% off everything that's on their website. So treat yourself to some new clubber and help out the channel as well. David, as I said, Villa 4-0 against Ajax, the kind of 4-0 at Villa Park that we prefer compared to the one on Sunday. Good for morale, obviously, to get a resounding victory, and good to go to West Ham on the back of a win as well. Unfortunately, though, they went one better and won 5-0, so I'm sure they're feeling quite good about themselves as well.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I think I was obviously in the office yesterday, and a few people in the office were saying, oh, you're nervous about tonight, you're nervous. And it, bizarrely, I was actually feeling okay going into the game. There wasn't really any jitters. I was very confident that Villa would do the job last night, and I think, you know, we've kind of, it's the classic kind of Villa pessimism that's been drilled into fans for, you know, 20 years. But now I feel like the tide's turning. We can feel a little bit more confident going into these types of games. So there wasn't really too many nerves heading into it. I was always thinking that Villa were going to get the job done against Ajax. The margin of victory was great. I was a little bit concerned at halftime just because, you know, they had a little bit of the ball in the last kind of 5-10 minutes of the first half and created a couple of half openings, really. And I thought, really, if Ajax tried to step it up a little bit, they could cause Villa some problems. I thought the left-hand side was a slight issue towards the back end of the first half. But obviously, Rodgers was brought off for the second half. So that ended up being sorted out, and then managed to get a couple of goals. The red card obviously helped us. But I liked what Unai said after the game as well. He said it was a serious performance, and I don't think he meant, you know, a serious performance as in that was an amazing performance. I think he meant it as that was a serious, you know, mature performance from a Villa team in a European game. And I think, you know, he balanced the two fixtures really well in terms of going away to Ajax first, not giving away too many chances, and then bringing them back to Villa Park and putting in a solid performance, and the goals kind of flowed to match that. So I think, you know, it was a good and a serious performance from Villa against Ajax.
Yeah, I think you're right. Kind of an Unai Emery vintage in Europe, managing the two legs. Jacob did a good article on The Athletic. I don't know whether you've read it, kind of explaining the game, how Villa managed the two legs, and then talking about the shifting system in the second half as well. So if you are subscribed to The Athletic, it's worth going and reading Jacob's pieces. I felt comfortable going into it as well. I think Villa went there to come away with something tangible in that first leg, but weren't playing in fifth gear, really. And I felt that if Villa even got up to third or even third gear, I felt they'd have too much for Ajax. I watched Ajax and thought their best player was comfortably Jordan Henderson, and I didn't think he was great. You know, Villa are just, unfortunately for Ajax, and the Premier League as well, it just shows the strength of the Premier League. Villa are a far better outfit than Ajax, and as soon as we went 1-0 up, I had absolutely no doubt that we'd go on and win the game. My biggest concern from the game is Ollie Watkins going off injured. At the first sign of trouble, I think we probably should have got him off, in my opinion, but then he did come back and score the goal that set us on our way. But that's a blow if he's not there on Sunday. Duran filled in well, but as I've just said, you know, the Premier League is a completely different kettle of fish to going on and taking an Ajax team, and seeing him go off is worrying, and it just continues the trend of every game, whether it be through a card or through an injury. We just seem to lose someone else.
Yeah, Ollie Watkins is massive, isn't he? You know, you don't need me or you to tell people how important he is and how good he's been. So it was absolutely heart in mouth when he went over challenging the goalkeeper. Kind of typical Ollie Watkins as well, trying to set the tempo, trying to, you know, create something out of nothing by closing down the goalkeeper, and ended up injuring himself. I think, you know, from what has been said, you know, it seems like an impact injury and not a muscular injury, which was the fear really when he went over and he was twisting and turning on the floor and he looked in agony, and I thought that was it. You know, my immediate reaction was he's done. It's one another knee injury, another serious knee injury. But as the kind of minutes transpired and the medical team went on and tested him out, it seemed like it was just a cut on his knee, or certainly a deep wound on his knee. So he went off, came back on, obviously couldn't continue, but managed to get that goal, which was such a brilliant goal as well. Well taken. But I think from that point of view, once Villa were 1-0 up and it was clear that he wasn't at 100%, I think the sensible thing was to take him off at that point and bring on John Duran. And I thought it was excellent, really. You know, Duran, DRB, those two in particular, really, it seemed like, had good levels and raised their levels. DRB in particular raised his level. We haven't really seen John Duran recently to make a judgment on his level, but I thought those two were really good in the absence of Ollie Watkins. And it, you know, it felt like they were ready to take on a bit more responsibility without Watkins there.
Yeah, good to see both of them on the score sheet. I think if you'd have asked me anyone who I could say put the ball in the back of the net, if I could choose someone before the game, I probably would have chose DRB, because I just feel like he needs his confidence rising. You can see at the moment, more in the first half, this was when he was attacking the whole end, and I could see his face. If he did something wrong or gave the ball away or something didn't quite come off, you could see it was really mentally affecting him. He looked frustrated with himself. And I tweeted earlier, you know, that goal hopefully sets him on his way now, because if Villa can get anything like the DRB we saw from August to October, that could be crucial going into the last 10 or so games. And I guess a big thing to come out of last night as well, we'll touch on the draw in a second as well, because obviously that's happened today. The big thing was that it's now like an 85% chance that fifth is going to be enough for Champions League football. And that's huge. And actually West Ham, it was who did us a favour by beating Freiburg and dispatching them very, very comfortably. That's huge for us as well, because I do feel like we're running at bare bones at the moment. I think Thursday to Sunday did affect us last week, and it's possible that it could affect us again. Although I guess West Ham have got the same kind of thing, because they went full strength last night. So actually, I've forgotten about that. Yeah, we're kind of playing a team who've been through the same thing as us.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've had more messages about coefficient than I have anything else this week, to be honest. I'm not all over it in particular, but from what I understand, the draw, I think West Ham have got Leverkusen, which will be difficult for them. And, you know, it seems like the English division is in the driving seat to get this fifth place, which is important. But I think, you know, Villa should still be aiming for fourth at this moment in time. You know, West Ham haven't been in particularly good form. I think, you know, there has been an element of pressure on David Moyes recently. And, you know, Unai Emery will be going there telling his players to control the crowd, first of all, and keep the game as tight as we can early on. If we can get an early goal, great. But certainly get those West Ham supporters frustrated, and it becomes a more difficult place to play for West Ham when the supporters aren't totally on their side.
Yeah, I'd need AVFC Stato to be here for this one. I don't feel like we've got a great record at West Ham away. The only win I can remember, and it wasn't even recently, was under Gerard Houllier, 2010-11, Gabriel Bonhol scoring a header last. The only win I can remember away at West Ham. I'm sure someone would be able to correct me on that, but it's not standing out as a place that we do particularly well at. I remember going there last season. It was 1-1, wasn't it, when we went 1-0 through Ollie Watkins, and then I think it was a slightly suspect penalty pulled West Ham back into the game. But that was in the midst of an unbeaten run, I think, that we were going through at that point. I think that was in the midst of the 10-game unbeaten run that we went through last season. So it isn't a happy place for us to go to. West Ham are quite up and down at the moment, it feels like, a little bit as well. But where do you stand on the David Moyes stuff? Because I know we've spoke about this on the transfer shows. I can't remember where they are in the league off the top of my head. Are they sixth, seventh at the moment?
Too sure off the top of my head.
Yeah, ooh, here he is, producer Adam, getting the league table up. They're seventh.
Here we go.
So yeah, West Ham, I mean, they're in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. They're seventh. I get that the football's not the most entertaining and they don't always like it, the West Ham fans. But these are still the best times they've had in my lifetime since I've been born West Ham. And I listened to TalkSport on the way home last night. It was a real mixed bag of West Ham fans. Some saying that some West Ham fans don't know they're born. They don't realise how good we've got it. Moyes deserves a lot of credit. Oh, here he is putting up the table again. He's gone table crazy. Adam Bates here for those listening on the audio. So yeah, there's a real mixed reception for David Moyes. You read the barometer of social media, Dave, which isn't a great place to go on and read the room, but it feels like a lot of West Ham fans want him gone. But where do you stand? Because I think he's done a really, really good job, and I still think sometimes it is better the devil. You know, it's not like when Villa lost Dean Smith and Steven Gerrard, and you know, we were fighting relegation at the time, let's face it, to bring in someone like Unai Emery in the case of Gerrard. West Ham could bring in a bigger name manager, but there's no guarantees that it works. And getting rid of a manager when you're seventh in the league, you've had numerous top six finishes, you've got to the quarterfinals of European competition 3 years in a row. I get, again, I don't watch West Ham every week, but the football isn't the most popular. But I'm more about my team winning, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the David Moyes tenure at West Ham will be judged a bit more fairly, I think, in the fullness of time, if and when he does leave at the end of the season or beyond that. You know, there will be a period of time that passes, and then I think West Ham supporters will look back on it with fondness, and I think David Moyes will go down in the history of West Ham for bringing that European trophy back to West Ham, which is such a significant marker in West Ham's history. So I think there will be that in the passage of time. I think the issue that West Ham fans have is they probably feel like there's a ceiling to the football that they play. I think, you know, they would look at themselves, given they have finished in those top six, seven positions, that they would like to see progress on that. And from their point of view, maybe there is a ceiling to the style of football and they are going to be unable to break the top six or move into those Champions League places playing the type of football that they do. Nobody in those top four, five, six positions plays the same style that West Ham do. And the other strand to that is, I think the frustration comes particularly in home games. I mean, we saw it against Burnley the other week. West Ham will often be able to put on very good performances against teams around them in the top 7-8. But it's against the bottom 12 teams that West Ham are expected to win. And then they are often chucking in poor, some might say boring performances and not being able to get the 3 points. And I think it feels for some West Ham supporters like it's a never-ending cycle. They will put on some great performances against top 7-8 sides. They will look like world beaters. And then the next week they'll play a Burnley and they just won't be able to get the job done. And from West Ham's point of view, if they want to see themselves as a top 4, 5, 6 team, they need a manager who can raise the ceiling of that squad and that type of football. And from their point of view, there's a certain section of West Ham supporters that don't think David Moyes is the man to do it. It's up to people's personal opinion whether they think that style of football is more important than results. But you're right, they could go and get a manager in that plays open and expansive football and finish in the bottom six. That's a tangible outcome, a tangible scenario. So I think, you know, if and when they decide to change the manager, they have got a very healthy squad there. They've got some good players. And I think whoever comes in will have, you know, the opportunity to get those players playing a brand of football that might be able to challenge Aston Villa, Newcastle, Tottenham around those fourth, fifth, sixth places, Brighton as well. So yeah, I think David Moyes is almost, you know, his tenure will be viewed in a better light, I think, a little bit further down the line.
I guess they'll look at Villa and look at Newcastle last season and think, well, we were ahead of those teams. Those two teams were behind us, yet Newcastle have had Champions League football last season and Villa looks like they're possibly going to get it this season. So they'll probably look at us and Newcastle and think, well, why isn't that us when we started off from a better point than them? And they'll probably look at the two managers that have come in and think, well, if we had a manager like that, maybe that would pull us up there and we'd be where they are. Because we saw it with Villa, like players weren't performing. And I don't think that's the case with West Ham, in fairness. I think the good players are performing, but maybe they've got a little bit more to go. When Emery came in and Howe came in, you know, they got players playing at the absolute maximum of their ability. And that's what's got Villa and Newcastle last season challenging towards the top four. We look at West Ham and they have got a collection of brilliant players, haven't they? Bowen is on fire at the moment. Kudus is a sensational pickup. At Alvarez in midfield, James Ward-Prowse, the goalkeeper's having a good season. So West Ham have got a collection of good players. Kudus, and I mean, I haven't even mentioned Pakatar, who is, you know, it's no coincidence that as he's come back, West Ham have started picking up wins and points again and navigated themselves through the Europa League. You look at some of those names I've just mentioned. They are really, really good footballers. So to that end, I do kind of understand that, you know, West Ham fans must think, well, we've got those players. Surely, you know, if Villa are up there, if Newcastle have been up there, surely we should be pushing for Champions League too.
Yeah, and you have to remember as well that, you know, West Ham, when they were in the Conference League, in that season, they tried to alter their style of football. You know, they were obviously originally in a counter-attacking side. They tried to change up a little bit and play a little bit more possession-based, a little bit more expansive, and they just weren't getting results. You know, I think the players that they had there weren't of the level to be able to play that way. And, you know, they were simply in a relegation fight when they were in that season in the Conference League. And then David Moyes decided to revert to what, you know, he is used to, I guess, which is going back to that counter-attacking style of football, and they pulled clear of the relegation places and were pretty comfortable at the end of that season. And then the start of this season, he's almost doubled down on that style of play and said this is the way that West Ham are going to be able to climb the table and be in with a shout of those top 10, top 7, 8 places by playing this counter-attacking style of football. They've brought in a new guy called Tim Stuyten this year who's been in charge of the transfers, and they've brought in some really top players. You've mentioned some of them there, and you know there's a reason why Tim Stuyten's been linked with other jobs at kind of more established clubs across Europe because of the way that he's managed to bring in players at West Ham. And you know, I think there's a section of supporters that might think are on the same wavelength as you, where Eddie Howe comes in, Unai Emery comes in, gets the players playing a different type of football and to their absolute maximum. And maybe some West Ham fans think that, you know, the players that they've got there are capable of more than what they're showing.
I mean, it's looking like top 8 is probably going to be Europe again. They're still in the Europa League a bit. They've got a difficult draw. So it's looking like they'll probably be in Europe again, I would say, next season. And 4 seasons in a row in Europe for West Ham. I do think David Moyes deserves credit for that. And one thing I think he deserves credit for as well is that we've seen many teams over the years lose their best player and go into free fall, not spend that money well. I think Moyes deserves credit for the way, you know, he's kept West Ham. Actually, well, you look at the league, he's made them better than they were last season, despite losing their best player. And also their leader, you know, we know as Villa fans, when Villa lost their captain and best player, Jack Grealish, it felt like a struggle until Unai Emery had came in for any form of identity at the club. And, you know, I think Moyes deserves credit because I think he has managed that well at the very least. If West Ham, I think West Ham fans that don't want him there, I think there's a lot of them that wouldn't want him there, but would still give him huge credit. I do think he deserves credit for that because it is difficult to rebuild when you lose a player. So someone like Declan Rice, that must have been a huge loss as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I do kind of think that it was slightly easier to replace Declan Rice than it was to replace Jack Grealish, just because of the build-up that Villa had, and everything went through Jack Grealish, and he was, you know, a source of a lot of our attacking play, goals or assists. And actually, when you look at Declan Rice as a kind of covering, you know, bombarding but mostly defensive thinking midfielder, it's slightly easier to replace that kind of player. But you're right, they've spent the money really well in the absence of Declan Rice. They've brought in players, I think, that have enabled the others to shine. You know, when Declan Rice was there, you know, he would often be picking up the ball from deep and it'd be his responsibility to drive the team forward. And I think now, having Socek there still, having Ward-Prowse, to a lesser extent, I suppose, having Calvin Phillips in there, Edson Álvarez, though, in particular, you know, the responsibility isn't on them to drive the team forward. It's their responsibility to give it to Kudus, to give it to Pakatar and let them do damage in the final third. So, you know, in some ways, Declan Rice leaving has enabled different players to shine in that respect. So, and I think, you know, playing Villa is going to be something that West Ham will enjoy, you know, because Villa will like to dominate the ball and control the game. So in some ways that will play into West Ham's hands on Sunday.
What are you expecting to see from Villa team selection-wise? Obviously, McGinn, we know, is going to be out. Ezri Konsa will be back. I expect he'll come straight back into the team. I'm not sure whether it'll be at right-back or whether it'll be at centre-back. But what are you expecting to see from Villa in this game? And also, was the end of the game against Ajax with Diaby left, Bailey right? Do you think maybe that was an insight into something we might see?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly, yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think Ezri Konsa will come in. It didn't look good for Diego Carlos. I think, you know, it seemed like a
paper, isn't it?
It's so unfortunate for him. I'm so disappointed when I saw him go off, because he just needs a run of games. He really just needs to stay fit for a sustained period of time. And it seems
he was playing well as well. He was playing well.
And it, you know, it seems like it's going to be another period out for him now. I think when John McGinn's reaction, I don't know whether people saw it last night, John McGinn's reaction, Diego Carlos, I think McGinn asked him what his injury was, and obviously Carlos said hamstring, and John McGinn just turned away and went, oh no. So I think it seems like a fairly significant one. So we'll have to wait and see on how long that's going to be. So I'm disappointed for him. I think Konsa comes back in straight away. Longley, I think it's unfortunate, really, not to... It's a tough decision for Unai Emery at the back now, because Cash, has played so well.
He's good last night as well.
Paulo is back fit. He was great last night, Cash. And, you know, Konsa has to come back in. And I feel like if he drops Cash, that would be really unfortunate for him. It would be understandable why he does it, because away from home, he likes to have a little bit more physicality. And West Ham are a physical side and they will have a height advantage, no doubt. So that might be a reason that's playing on his mind. But Matty Cash has played so well recently that he would be really unfortunate to miss out. And that would obviously go with then Konsa, Longley, Pau Torres as the kind of three. And then it'd be either one of Moreno or Dina on Sunday. I think it was interesting the way that Villa played in that second half last night. I wonder whether it was something that, you know, Emery might try if he knows he's going to be playing up against three centre-backs and he can have the three forwards go man-to-man on on the three centre backs, or whether it's something that he might start from the first whistle on Sunday. I think it's an interesting option, particularly as central midfielders and midfielders is a problem right now. Maybe he'll think Tim Iribunim needs a little bit of protection either side of him, so he's going to stick with two eights and have Douglas Luiz and Tielemans either side of him, so Iribunim doesn't have as much ground to cover as he would do in a two. That might be a consideration for him. And then the three might well end up bringing the best out of Moussa Diaby at the moment. Maybe the change of tactics, the change of system might suit him a little better with a three up front rather than playing that shadow striker role. There's things to consider there for Unai Emery. I think it is something that he might now look at as something that might happen a little bit more often. We might not start the game, but it might be something that switches in game to that. And then also, you know, the 4-3-3 would enable us to play a similar-ish kind of off the ball system as well. Maybe one of those wingers would drop in as a wide player. So. And one of them would play more forward thinking. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a consideration. I just wonder whether he might well stick with how we usually play to start with and then might mix it up as the game goes on.
I thought it was interesting that he did that because obviously he changed formation last weekend against Tottenham. It didn't work, but that was the first time we'd seen him deviate away from the kind of 4-4-2 that we play. So I found that interesting last week. And then he's kind of given us that little look last night. In his post-match, he threw back to a time, or actually he may have just said this to Jacob because I read it in Jacob's piece. He kind of talked about a 10-minute spell where Diaby played on the left against Crystal Palace when we were chasing the game and we won 3-1. We always build up in a back three. I think it's interesting because I think Cash will play and then whoever plays at left-back is a toss-up at the moment, I would say. It's almost like, I feel like because we've been shipping goals, we conceded in two a game. In the league on average at the moment, aren't we? So it's almost like if he kind of builds up by keeping the back four and then has Diaby high and wide and then plays Tielemans and Luiz with Iribunim for the reasons that you're talking, and then it will be Watkins or Duran up front. I feel for now that probably works, because if he doesn't do that and he sticks with what we do normally, you'd assume it's going to be Rodgers on the left and Tim Iribunim, I've said his name about seven different ways, in the midfield, doesn't it? So that them two to get Luiz, I know, players left, but having both of those two in the midfield feels very inexperienced. So I think he might do what he did last night and have Diaby high on the left and Bailey high on the right. Because I think also, if you don't play, I think he'll play Tielemans regardless. If you don't play Diaby after he's just scored and he might get a little bit of confidence, I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. So I think he may well do that Diaby high left, Bailey high right.
Yeah, and it might be something that, you know, he was trying with a view to Sunday. The game last night was pretty much finished when the changes came, and maybe he thought, you know what, I'm just going to try this with a view to Sunday.
I've just remembered we were playing against 10 men, which makes the game very different, doesn't it? I just shot into my mind, maybe that was why he did it, because he could be more attacking because we were playing against 10.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But, you know, I think they were... I think there's still a possibility that he might go with this just for the reasons that we talked about. The only issue then really is, you know, if Cash plays as the kind of reserved right centre back, right back, you know, and it's either Moreno or Dina on the other side that are pushing forward, it's the responsibility of the left sided attacker Diaby to be closer to Watkins, and then Watkins. You know, the tendency that Watkins has is to drift a little bit towards the left-hand side. So is then the player on the left-hand side treading on Ollie Watkins' toes? Are they getting in each other's way? Or does Ollie Watkins have to be a bit more disciplined and stay central rather than kind of drifting into those channels? So there's loads of things to consider. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes picking the team, because he's almost limited on options, but then it's almost a toss-up as to how he sets up.
Yeah, it's not Unai Emery. We'll pick what he thinks best, and you know, even when he gets it wrong, I still ultimately will back him, because you know, last weekend was the first time I have walked away from a game and felt that he got it wrong, and in 18 months that isn't a bad place to be at, is it, with your manager? But I do think he's got to do something, even the way I just talked about, you know, maybe building it with four at the back instead of three. If you're conceding two plus every game, that we can't continue doing that, because we won't pick up wins if we're doing that, because you rely on having to score three goals every game. And at the moment, I don't feel like we've quite got that in us. I don't think attacking wise everything's clicking as it should. So it might be kind of going back to how he was when we when he first came in, because we always played, we constantly never played right back once. Last season it was always Cash or Young at right back, and then whoever left back as well. So, but there was games away from home in particular where, you know, whoever was playing on the left would drop in and they'd make it a back six, whoever was playing on the right would drop in. Might be a case of kind of going back to that thing for a few weeks, because we can't keep conceding goals at the rate we are.
Yeah, that would then, you know, if it put a lot of responsibility on the wide players then to form that back six. But I think it's definitely an option. I don't think he will.
You almost don't need to do that. Sorry, the wide players won't need to do that, because you've also got three in midfield then, and you'd imagine Irigbunam at the six can come in and play close to the centre backs, and you've still got Louise and Tillemans floating around as well. I just feel at the moment that would get the best out of the players that we've got at our disposal. That would be my thinking.
Yeah, that's definitely the argument, that, you know, if you're trying to continue in the kind of 4-4-2 off the ball that we've been playing, then, or, and then the 4-2-2-2 or whatever, what you want to call it, 3-box-3 in the attacking third, then that might be the way that you get the best out of the players that are available, simply because of injuries at the moment. And he might decide to do that. I just have a feeling that he will probably stick with the way that Villa build up, just because I think we did get a little bit tangled last week when there was five defenders there. I'm not totally convinced that everybody was on the same wavelength in terms of how we were building up, particularly from goal kicks. Sometimes there was four in build up from goal kicks, sometimes there was five, and I wasn't sure whether Pau Torres going, you know, starting off in build up as a left back was quite the way to go. And I feel like I want him more centrally on the ball to make those more incisive passes, rather than going kind of almost as a left back from goal kicks. But I think he'll stick with the way that Villa build up for this game, and maybe tweak it in game just to see how people are going. So I think, you know, from goal kicks, it'll be the regular kind of four, and then either a two or three midfielder sat in front of them. And then once we get settled possession, they'll move into that three. And then it's just a case of which midfielders are allowed to, you know, whether we play 4-3-3, which of the two eights go forward, which of them sits in front. Because, you know, conceding goals on counter-attacks and transitions has been an issue. So if we play 4-3-3, the two eights, I don't think they'll be allowed the freedom to bomb on when we have possession, because we'll need to have at least one of them sat next to Tim Irigbunam to help him out.
I think without McGinn, you've kind of got to let Louise be the one to go forward. Obviously, when he's with Kamara, he goes forward anyway, but kind of lack that goal threat from midfield. Tillemans hasn't been prolific, has he? So you kind of need to be able to let Louise go forward. You mentioned Pau Torres, great that he got 90 minutes under his belt again last night. That's really good. I guess with the box midfield as well, because we've got no McGinn, because we've got no Ramsey, I know Zaniolo's played that role at times, from your wide left player, we haven't really got a natural fit to make that box, I would say. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Unai Emery knows infinitely more about football than me and you do, Dave. So we'll see what he comes up with at the weekend. But it's a good discussion, nonetheless.
Because the team has picked itself, we haven't really had the opportunity to discuss different ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And because obviously Villa have been so successful, there hasn't really been any need to discuss different ways of doing things. But because of Unai Emery's kind of brought the conversation on because of the change of formation and the change of things last week. And, you know, you can debate it either way. I understood why he did it, but I'm not sure the execution was quite there from the players. Were they sufficiently prepared enough to do that? And, you know, I think given the injuries, given the players that are available, you know, I can't imagine that Jacob Ramsey would be fit, as he's not been training this week. You know, Zaniolo is a possibility, although, given team selections, I can't imagine that Unai Emery would trust him to start. So, you know, because of the change last week, the players that are available, the injuries that we've got, it leads us into these conversations, really.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss the Lille game in Monday show that we do on the podcast. We won't talk about it now because half an hour in David Reid and myself's company, I don't think anyone wants any more than that. I mean, let us know in the comments if you do want us to go longer than half an hour, but I feel like half an hour is enough from us. And we're not going to do a prediction this week because we brought predictions back last week and we got humped 4-0, so there's no way that we'll be making any predictions ahead of this game. I will say as well, I think I set a likes target. I don't think we got anywhere near it. And I said Villa will win the game if we hit the likes target, which was 700. And I don't believe that we hit that target in the last match preview. So I'm going to set the same target again. More than 700 people will watch. So if you're watching it, you've got to like it and get it above 700. Otherwise, Villa are going to lose again at the weekend. It's as simple as that. So thanks to Dave for joining me today. Thanks to Adam for producing. And thanks to everyone for watching at home or on their commute or wherever, on the toilet, wherever you watch this show. Thank you very much for tuning in, whether it be via audio or video. Wherever you are taking in the podcast, if you could do all the things that help the channel, like, comment, subscribe, notifications on, I think they're all the things that you can do, then please do that, and it really, really helps us. I'll be back on Monday with a show. No idea what Global's up to at the moment, so it could very well be with Jacob, but there will be a show of some sort on Monday. So enjoy your Villa free Saturday, and then those going on Sunday, have a wonderful time, and as always, up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.